beautiful morning this morning, huh? How many believe what we were singing? How many believe that God is fighting for you, pushing back the darkness? How many believe in the power of the name of Jesus? What about the rest of you? How many believe in the power of the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. How many believe in the power of your words? How many know that what you say, what you agree with, matters? We're going to delve into that a little bit more this morning. And, I understand it's not the most popular message around anymore, but I believe it is central to living in victory. How many know we've been called to live a supernatural life? How many know victory has already been given to us? And it's God's design that we continue to walk in victory. How many know that our faith is the victory, Paul said, by the Spirit of God? And so this morning, we want to just go right back to where we were at and continue to hammer this home. How many are ready to get into it a little bit? Last week, as we started out, remember the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many know that's a lie from the pit of hell? Three of you. How many know that is a lie from the pit of hell? How many know words can hurt you if you let them, especially if you cooperate with them? We're going to look in just a few moments at the centurion, who the Bible says that Jesus Christ, he who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, actually without beginning and without end, one with the Father, marveled at the faith of the centurion. That's pretty amazing. And when you look at who the centurion was, he makes a statement as a Gentile soldier in the Roman army, a centurion, a man who commanded 100 men, a man of importance and authority. He said, I'm one in authority and under authority. And here's what I believe. You just say the word, and I know it will be done. What he did was, is he recognized a higher authority, and he yielded his heart and his mouth to that higher authority, and the supernatural took place. How many believe that we live supernaturally? We should be, as believers. For the just shall live by faith. Amen. So turn with me, if you would, very quickly. I'm going to just go back through a few scriptures that we have looked at a lot, but we haven't looked at in a while. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 1. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I have in the past. In fact, I think I dwelt here a little bit when we first started out. This is a scripture that has been a protection and a strength for me from my very early years as a child and formative years. Psalms chapter 1. Isn't it powerful? I'll tell you what. If we would listen to these few verses, it would make all the difference in our world. And here's what the book of Psalms, first chapter, first verse, right out of the chute, here's what it sounds like. It says, blessed is the man. I'm interested in being blessed. What you may not know is that you're already blessed in Jesus, but there is a way to walk in that blessing. And here's what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want you to notice that every one of these things here have to do with hanging around people who don't say the right things and the influence of words on your life. This is, listen to where he's at. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, this is speaking specifically of the Torah. And if you understand what the Torah is, it is a prophetic instruction of and towards Messiah. It's all about Jesus. Now, they didn't know that at this time. And God was dealing with them through the law, but all these were types and shadows of salvation. Revelation declares that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Say with me, God already had a plan. Come on, God already had a plan for my success. Hallelujah. So he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, we've taught extensively on this, so I'm not going to take the time to go into the Hebrew and bring all of that out. But this word comes from the same root word, which means to ruminate. Or that is like a cow. How many stomachs does a cow have?
Four.
All right. Like a cow, they eat grass, they swallow it, they regurgitate, they chew it again, they swallow it. They regurgitate, they chew it again, they swallow it. And this is called, that's what that word comes from, chewing with your mouth. It's not just sitting in silence. In fact, if you go to the Hebrew word as they understood it, and you look at the definition, those of you who might have right now concordances on your phone, you'll see what I'm saying is true. It is a word that to the Hebrew mind can mean murmuring. Now, we're not talking about in a negative, obviously, from the context of the scripture, but murmuring. In other words, something is being repeated, maybe under the breath or out loud. It can mean the roar of a lion. It can mean a lot of different things, but it is not just sitting and meditating like the world talks about, but it is actually repeating, reciting, singing, roaring, talking, murmuring. This is what this is about. And it says right here that if blessed is the man who his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. Everybody say meditate. Meditate. He meditates day and night. Now, you've heard me say this before, and it wasn't original with me, but how many know that it is possible for us to meditate in the Word day and night? Here's how I know, because there are many of us that were chronic worriers. And we worried day and night. We paid bills and we had children and we lived a life and had successful careers and we did everything, but we were chronic worriers and it always hampered our progress. So, if you can let the Holy Spirit help you flip that switch, you can become a chronic meditator of the good things of God. How about that? Doesn't sound like a better deal? And here's the promise. It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's going to bring forth fruit in his season. How many are interested in producing fruit? Jesus was interested in our producing fruit. John, in John chapter 15, he's speaking to the disciples and he's talking about his desire for them to produce much fruit. And he makes this mind-blowing promise. He says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. Don't go to sleep on that verse. That was Jesus talking and it's still true. We say, I tried it and it didn't work. Then maybe there's something wrong with our thinking, because we know God's word works and we know that what Jesus says is true. And when we put it to the test, how many know Jesus is faithful and true? And he said, if you abide in me and my word, notice word. Notice, if you think about it, when we think of word and people say the word of God, we instantly go to the written in our minds. How many are glad for the written word of God? But how many know the word was not written until it was spoken? It wasn't written, then spoken. It was spoken, and then it was recorded. Word. It is a verbal expression of a truth or an untruth. The Word. In the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1, speaking of who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word. You ever thought about that? We're so used to being in our churches and hearing these scriptures, we don't really think about what is being said. Notice that Jesus, the center of all that exists, is referenced by the Spirit of God in the book of John, opening chapter, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word spoken. power. How many know, are familiar with the scripture, John chapter 6, verse 63? Some of you didn't even know there were that many verses in that chapter. John 6, 63, Jesus says at the end of that verse, he says, my words are spirit. Now, we Pentecostals, I don't consider myself necessarily a Pentecostal or a charismatic or any of those things. I just believe in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. But those of us who would be accused of being Pentecostals because we believe in the baptism and the Holy Spirit, we believe in the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we believe that He does the same things today that He did yesterday, and many of us in here have undeniable proof of His goodness in our bodies, in our lives, in our stories, in our testimonies. Absolute undeniable proof that He is good and He is faithful. Can you say amen? Amen? All right. But we get excited about spirit. Woo! They are spirit. Ooh, getting a spirit, brother. Whatever. Okay, getting a spirit. But here's the thing. He says His words produce life. Let me stop just a moment right there. There is a... See if I still got this. I hope I still got it here. I believe I do. Can you give me a minute to find it? There's a neurosurgeon, and I wished I would have recorded his name. Pastor Youngie Cho, there was a friend of Pastor Youngie Cho's. How many are familiar with him? Okay. Years ago, million member church. He said something that was very interesting. He said, you cannot understand faith without the speaking part of faith. A lot of people think you can, but listen, in the beginning was the, it was spoken before it was ever written. And just a little side note, this is not a formula, it's about a relationship. That centurion was blown away. He saw a man that was different than anybody he had ever seen, and he dared, as a lawless Gentile, to believe what this rabbi was saying. He said, I just saw something that I've never seen before, and I'm a man under authority and in authority. And here's what I believe, based on what I've heard about you, if you just say the word, I know it'll be done. And Jesus marveled at his faith. Notice, he recognized a higher authority and a greater power. A word that was spoken became his word as he cooperated. He wasn't trying to make something happen. He heard words from a higher authority and he cooperated with the word of God, and the supernatural broke forth. Now, Pastor Youngie Cho says, you can't understand faith without the speaking part of faith. He was out eating with a leading neurosurgeon in South Korea. He began to tell him of a new discovery. You can verify this. You can go online and verify. This is nothing secret. He says, they found a new discovery that the speech center, listen, I want you to hear this. Don't lose me. That the speech center in the brain exercises dominion over the whole central nervous system. David said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why would that surprise you if the God of universes set things in their place as he spoke forth what did not exist except in his heart and in his mind? He spoke and then he saw. He spoke and he spoke and he spoke and then he saw and then he saw and then he saw. He didn't say, oh my goodness, look at how black the universe is. Look at how dark and without void. He didn't repeat what he saw. He spoke forward a vision. He saw you and I in that vision. You know, the Word of God says every hair of your head is numbered. And He knows our name. I don't know who we were talking to just recently. And He also is giving us, has given us a new name. Aren't you interested in finding out what that might be? Right now, does it really matter? We have the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Refathered, reborn. At any rate, they discovered that the speech center in the brain exercised dominion over the whole central nervous system. We have discovered, he said, that when working with someone's brain, we can probe different parts of the brain and different parts of the body will respond. But when you probe the speech center, listen to this, when you probe the speech center of the brain, the whole central nervous system responds. Everything. So much so that when we're taking someone into surgery, we listen to what they are saying, what they are speaking. If they say, "I am so afraid," we try to turn that before the surgery because it affects their whole central nervous system. When they say, "I'm so weak," those words send out a message to the whole body. He said, if someone says, "I'm getting so old," the speech center of the brain sends out a message to the whole body, prepare to die. I love what I'm hearing in this room right now. Oh, no. People say in their 40s and 50s, they keep talking about how old they are. You might say the right thing in church, but driving down the road, talking to your friends, are you talking about how old you are? Are you talking yourself to death? I hope this is bringing this home. Now listen, hear every bit that I'm talking to you through the beautiful message of grace. Aren't you glad when we miss it? His love for me, His strength for me, His blessing, His desire. He's already super abundant. But listen, how many know that if we will let great love cause us to respond with what pleases God more than anything else, trust. I utterly trust you. You can talk yourself to death, poverty, lack, failure, weakness. You can talk yourself out of friends. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms. Big, fat, juicy ones. Little, bitty, skinny ones. Ever heard that? Oh boy, I remember who was it? It was Luke, David Moneymaker, and it seems to me like it was your boy. They've been watching too much of Survivor Man, and what's the other guy? Bear Grylls. And so at that time, Luke was out punching cows with me quite a bit. And so I think he thought he was going to show these boys a lesson. So they went out cold turkey and did a Bear Grylls way out. They went way out somewhere out towards the K4's ranch, if you know where that is, and got back in and tried to get themselves lost. Of course, Luke knew the country too well, so he wasn't lost, but they made a good try at it. And while they were there, they ate raw snake, ate some raw bugs, lizard. I don't remember. Do you remember what all they ate? And Luke was all the time eating grasshoppers till I told him, I said, "You better be careful, Bubba." I said, "That's where tapeworms come from." "What's a tapeworm?" I described it to him. His eyes got kind of big. So, but he's okay. What did that have to do with faith? I have no idea, but it was fun. All right. So at any rate, everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. You can talk yourself right out of friendships. In fact, Proverbs has a good word for people that are crying like that. It says that he who desires friends must make himself friendly. And I think that's why it's so important to get a hold of who we are in Christ and become confident in His love for us and begin to see His value for us. Because when we see ourselves as valuable, when we see ourselves as worthy before God, even if it's by faith in the beginning, what happens is we don't realize that when we don't think well of ourselves, when we walk around with a lot of self-hate, those tend to be very sour, very snide, very critical people. How many of anybody can be a critic? That's easy. But at any rate, they can be very withdrawn, very alone, very lonely people. And just self-hate. And the thing is that a lot of times they don't realize that belief, when they're around somebody, they have already believed and are already reacting to something that hasn't even happened yet, that this person too is going to hate them. And then when that person doesn't know what's going on and they see how defensive and offish they are and not really wanting to talk, that person who wants to embrace them feels like, man, maybe I better, I've tried twice, or whatever, and they don't seem like they want to talk. I better just leave them alone. And then that person believes that because that happened, nobody wants to be their friend. You see how that works? It is so important to get whole in Jesus, to become confident in who we are in Him. Aren't you glad for His love this morning? We can talk ourselves right out of friends. We can talk ourselves right out of health. We can talk ourselves right out of some of the best things in life. And as I said last week, it isn't what you just say a time or two. But if you don't get a hold of this truth, there will become a pattern of speaking that will definitely begin to nail down patterns in your life that will produce good or bad. I hope most of you in here can already quote with me, because I've quoted it a ton of times, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, which tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we better find out if Jesus talked about it and gave great importance. So we better find out what is going on here. Can you say amen? Now, here's the thing. We looked at John 6:63. He says, "My words, they are spirit and they are life." Psalms chapter 1, meditation, the speaking, the repetitive speaking and remembering the promises of God, says that we will be blessed, that we'll produce fruit in our season. Our leaf will not wither. And here is the last promise. And whatever we do, are you here today? Whatever we do, young mother with children, and everything seems difficult, lay hold of that scripture. I'm a prosperous mother. I can do all things. I know some of you are just wanting to scream right now, but listen, the Word of God is still true. And it's not you trying something out. I remember years ago, and you've been around here, you've heard this before many times, but some of you have not. I remember years ago with our youth church, I brought in a bicycle, and I talked about trying to walk by faith. And I said, it's like trying to ride a bicycle. And I said, and I put the bicycle up in front of everybody, and I swung one leg about halfway over, and I demonstrated, they were cracking up in front of them as I went back and forth trying. I said, at some point my try needs to commit. At some point, I'm going to have to trust balance. I'm going to have to not be afraid to fail. I'm going to have to not be afraid to fall. How many started out in the journey of faith and you saw some really awesome things? How many also really tripped and hit it hard a few times? And how many know God was still faithful in helping us? You can't be afraid to fall. If you never venture forward, you're never going to get anywhere. Take a step in faith. Believe God. It's a learning process. That's why we need one another, and that's why we need Jesus. And I was demonstrating for them, you can't try. At some point, you're going to have to just get on and go. And what a wonderful feeling, even if you wreck a few times, when you finally get that down, to be able to just pedal and go. You can't just try. And that's the way it is with this thing of faith. It's not a matter of just trying it out. God is not an aspirin that you only pull out of a bottle when you're in pain. It doesn't work like that. He's paid the full price. He wants a relationship with you first. And when we get in relationship, woo, with the God of universes, of all that is, who has given us great and exceeding precious promises, and like the centurion, we begin to line our word up with a higher authority, another word. It's not something that you're going to just start out and just say a few words and, okay, we'll see if that worked. I tried this out. Let's see if it worked. And I want you to know something too. You can speak words over other people. And there's an impact there, positive or negative. But you know what? Just like somebody can come up and tell me I'm a stupid, raving idiot and uglier in sin, and they blah, 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 blah. And it's not, it may hurt my feelings because my desire to befriend them, but it's not going to ruin my life, not even for 30 minutes, because I'm confident in who I am. But there are people that hear words like that, and they receive that information, and it resets the course of their whole life. Yes. You know, that same thing can happen with Jesus. When we begin to receive the word of God in our life about who I am in Christ and what He has done for me, what He already provided for my body by His stripes on the tree, what He has done, He is my peace. He's broken down, Ephesians says, every wall, every partition, everything that was between us and God is gone. Aren't you glad for the blood that allowed us by faith to step into a whole supernatural walk of grace by faith? I'm very glad for Jesus today. I hope this is speaking to your hearts. I told you I wasn't going to hurry through this faith deal. Don't believe that I should. So we looked at that. Now I want you to turn to another very familiar verse of Scripture, Mark chapter 4. We're not going to dwell here long. I just want you to remind you of it a little bit. Mark chapter 4. Notice Jesus, and I believe He's speaking of Himself and speaking prophetically of those that would follow. He says in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1, and He began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto Him a great multitude, so that He entered into a ship and sat on the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And He taught them many things by parables. And He said unto them in His doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and fowls of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root, and it withered away. And some fell by among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it out, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Shout it out with me this morning. Because of Jesus, I'm bringing forth 30, 60, and 100. Come on, all over the place, producing for God. Okay, here we go. And He said unto them, he that hath ears to hear. You think I'm irritating sometimes? Jesus said this stuff over and over and over again. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's almost a tad sarcastic. I don't believe He was being sarcastic, but think about it. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And He said unto them, see, and when He was alone, they were, verse 10, and when He was alone, they were about Him with the 12, asked Him of the parable. And He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Seeing they may see and not perceive, and I won't get into all the reasons why Jesus said the things that He did there, but here's what I want you to look at. Verse 14, He says, the sower now, I'm going to show you what this is. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about different types of soil of the heart. And notice what He sows. He sows the word. Now, our minds, good old charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever it is you use, spirit-filled people, we instantly go to the written. Jesus is preaching the good news. Everything is changing. This is why people responded to him, were willing to break the laws of the old covenant, to press in, do things that they should not have done, like the woman with the issue of blood. The sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And he begins to explain what he just revealed to them, but he's saying the sower sows that which is spoken. Speaking of himself, remember what he said in John 6:63. He said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Now, how many believe that life is just a spiritual life? Doesn't really have anything to do with your... What? Everything that you see, everything that you touch, everything that is tangible, do you know that according to the Word of God, it had its beginning with words? I want you to turn to a favorite scripture of mine, Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. Louis Giglio, man, he will blow your mind. If you guys have never seen, if the earth was a golf ball, and that was one of the original messages, the way they named it, they updated it. Now it's known as, can somebody help me? I know several of you got copies of it. Do you remember what the DVD is called? It's his Passion Tour from a number of years ago, in which he looks at the planets and how big they are. And then looks that, if you've never seen that, maybe it's time we do that again in here sometime. If the earth's with a golf ball. And then he goes into the human body and he looks at our DNA, and I won't blow the punchline there, but it is a powerful, powerful, powerful video of how real God is and how impossible it is for any of this to exist. And he speaks about the verse, and I can't by memory right now tell you exactly where it's at, but he talks about how that when God opens his mouth, stars. He excels stars. And it's just tremendous stuff. Now I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." That was a verse that changed Chad Nanke's world when he found out he has made me, he has qualified me. He has qualified me. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? He has qualified me to be a son and an heir. Okay? 13, who hath delivered us. Come on, are you here this morning, people of God? He has delivered us from the power of darkness. I was called to a nursing home this weekend where I had a couple of nurses that were freaked out of their minds because they had some wooden decoy ducks in this lady's room who was cursing and swearing. They walked in on her at one place and she was suspended out over off the edge of her bed supernaturally. She has no use of her right arm. And she stuck straight out off the bed suspended. They were getting to where they didn't even want to go in the room. This is right here in good old Prescott, people. Are you here? She had some old antique decoy ducks. Both those nurses, they said the ducks' heads would spin. They had a clock on the wall. They had no battery in it. It wasn't hooked up, and it would change time. Well, it was a thrill for me to be able to walk in there because I'm convinced of this, and so should you be. No little weak demon is going to throw that kind of a fit when I'm around. Now, I may not be able to get her free because there's a lot that needs to happen there. Her receptivity to the gospel, whether she's even, there's a lot of variables there. But one thing I know for sure, you can't touch this. I aged myself, Greg. Remember MC Hammer? And while I'm here, I'm going to plant some seed. Well, I was able to lead her in a prayer of salvation. And you should have seen when I picked up the decoy ducks and I said, "Go ahead, devil, spin some heads. Do your thing. Show us what you can do." Both of them girls went just like this. They're standing there looking at me like I was crazy. They didn't know what I was going to do when I said that, when I came out of my mouth. They went, which proved to me that what they'd seen was real. But those little punks have no power over you. They can only deceive you into fearing them, and your fear is what powers them. In fact, I'll tell you something that Lester Sumrall told us years ago in Bible school. He said an atheist can walk in a room like that and they can't act up because the atheist doesn't believe in him. Did you hear what I just said? And Christians, man, they got to arm up praying in what I call fear tongues. You know, there's no such thing as fear tongues. But I don't care how much you pray in tongues. If you're in fear, I guess the tongues will help you. But if you're still scared half to death and you want, man, just stay out, leave. But listen, no believer from little to big has to ever fear that kind of a thing. I mean, no, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Aren't you glad for Jesus? I got a kick out of that. I waved them down. I said, go ahead. I went over and pulled the clock off the wall. I said, go ahead, spin some hands here. Show us what you can do. Not while I'm in here. You think I'm bragging, don't you? No. Not at all. No, I want to encourage you. Look at what he says. Who has delivered us? Come on, say, he's delivered me. You may not have caught up yet totally with all that means for you, but he has delivered us from the power of darkness. That right there, why does that scare so much of the church right now in America? Why does that statement empty churches? Something is very, very wrong. I'm delivered. Woo, I'm delivered from the power of darkness. And he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Drop your Bibles for a minute, would you? Lift your hands all over the room. Come on, let's just quit. Let's quit doing church for a minute. Come on, to yourself. Jesus, how we love you. How we love you. How we thank you. Great teacher. Thank you for sending me the Holy Spirit. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for taking my place. You blow my mind. Jesus, what a beautiful name. How we love you today. Salvation that is complete. Oh, salvation that is eternal. Salvation that is secure. Father, we thank you that your love, you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. Then Jesus turned around and affirmed, that's exactly what Dad said, and I'm repeating it to you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man or anybody else or any devil can do. Jesus, how we love you. You are so good. I'm scared right now. I'm daring to take little steps and I'm not sure exactly, and I'm feeling my way through, and it's a little dark ahead and I can't see around the curve, but I trust you in this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Look at 16. For by him, talking about Jesus, you're in my Jesus. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Verse 17. And he is before all, and by him all consists. Your Bible just told you that everything is held together by your big brother, your precious friend, Savior. Everything. Everything held together by Him. Now I'm going to take you back to a verse that we looked at last week or the week before, probably both weeks. Look over at the book of Hebrews. How I love these verses. The book of Hebrews, the writer speaking to a troubled Jewish nation, encouraging them to not back off in their pursuit of salvation in Jesus. He says, God, who at sundry times in different manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Chapter 1, verse 1, now verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. You know that Paul reveals, how many in here have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior? How many here have put your faith in the power of His blood? How many here can with Paul say, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The first Adam, all were condemned. But through the second Adam, all were resurrected unto new life. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. You think this is all there is to it? Not if I'm reading my Bible right. Eye hath not seen, nor has ear heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Pretty awesome stuff, huh? Yeah. Who being the brightness, still speaking of Jesus, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. So He's saying, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. That's going to have to help you do a little digging in the Old Testament to justify some things, but it doesn't change the Word of God. He's saying He wasn't fully revealed. Now He is, and it's through His Son. And you look at Him and you see who I really am. Period. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding, there it is again, just like we saw in Colossians 1, and upholding all things by the word, are you hearing this people? By the word of His power. Word. How is all of this held together? How is all of this staying together? I remember years ago scientists talking about how that in the universe they cannot explain. There's a number of things you can't explain. One of them, you don't hear them talk about it very much anymore, but there are sound waves that reverberate through the universe. They don't know where they're coming from. They don't know what is going on, but they're constantly brushing through the universe. And they said down to a rock, the matter in a rock, those sound waves are causing energy, buzzing, life, movement that we can't see. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Paul said, quoting David, we believe, and therefore we... I don't have the time to develop this now this morning. But there are a lot of expressions of unbelief. And I don't want to turn this negative at all. I'm wanting to encourage you and lift you. But I just want you to see something. There's a lot of different expressions or ways that unbelief is carried out or seen or heard or expressed, whatever. But if I could just oversimplify for a moment to help us get a hold of something. I believe that there are basically two kinds of unbelief. The first one is ignorance. How many are familiar with the scripture, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, where he says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Did you hear that today? Yes. My people, God's saying, my people perish. They're destroyed because they don't know some things. How many know when you don't know something, when you're ignorant of something, there's going to be an issue there of unbelief? How many remember before you knew Jesus? You didn't know about him. You didn't know what. Some of you grew up Catholic. Some of you grew up nothing. Some of you grew up Baptist. Some of you grew. But you, that there was such an ignorance about his love and his goodness and who he was. But how many can remember the day you? Somebody can. Some of you can still feel it like it just happened 30 seconds ago. The day that your heart was opened up, amen. And people had sown seed, words. Love and affirmation and standing in your way when you were just set on hurting yourself. People that loved you through thick and thin, and they spoke words into your life. And somewhere in the middle of all of that, there was a revelation. How many can right now just close your eyes and remember back? You don't even know when or how it happened, but your heart jumped inside of you as you said from your toes out, I believe that you are who you say you are. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. For some of you, it was not that emotional at all. It was sitting somewhere alone. Nobody would ever even known anything had happened. But quietly, to yourself, you murmured words that changed your life, literally. Aren't you glad for that? Forever. Boy, that's good news. Faith came in. But before that, you were ignorant. You didn't know. That's why Romans 10 says, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of them who preach good news. Romans 10:17 says that faith to receive Jesus comes by hearing the word of, in the original, look at the Latin Vulgate, it doesn't say word of God, it says word of Christ. How many remember that day? So that's the first kind. We'll have to develop this a little bit further next week. The second type is a type that mentally assents. This is a second type of unbelief, and I think you'll see this in Scripture, but refuses to speak. For Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, you get around me very long, and other than the goodness of God and the gospel, how many know what two main themes are going to come out of my mouth at some point? Fishing. Fishing. Or cattle. Or something to do. And lately it's been more fishing than anything. You don't have to guess at what I love. You'll also see a shift in my pocketbook. What I'm spending money on. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Are you sold on His goodness? Are you sold on His provision? Are you sold on healing? Are you sold on His peace? Are you sold on who He is in these areas? Listen, you can be. But listen, out of the abundance of the heart, Scripture says the mouth speaks. Paul says we believe, therefore we speak. Are you with me? And there is a type of unbelief that will listen and will listen and will take in and nod your head. Last week, remember the bobblehead example? My Goldschmidt bobblehead. We can agree. But there's something that tries to shut people up, or people themselves will just refuse to speak. And it is, in my opinion, based on what Scripture says, it is, there's basically ignorance, and then there is, I hear it, I accept it, but I refuse to open my mouth. And it doesn't work. Say with me today, faith has a voice. The devil will do everything he can to shut your mouth up. For the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The Word Himself is called the Word of God. He'll do everything he can to shut you up with saying anything positive, and yet it'll be so easy to relent and say everything that is wrong. I mean, it's just like it doesn't take hardly anything, just a little scratch, and we just gush. Say with me today, I'm delivered. Come on, are you here today? I'm delivered. Oh, I'm delivered. I'm a son, a daughter. Are you here today? A child of God. Now, if you made the world this way and you made everything I touch and see, everything that exists, show me how to begin to let this pattern begin to be laid down in my life. You okay with that? I think it's a shame that the body of Christ let themselves be ripped off because of extremes. And now all you got to do is say Mark 11:23, and they're like, oh, you're one of those. Well, excuse me, that's Jesus' words. If you will say unto this mountain, and keep on saying, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that what you say will come to pass. This is no, I'm going to try this for a few days or a few weeks or a few months. This is nailing down a lifestyle that says it may look like hell right now, but my God of heaven and all that is with me. He's for me. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm rising above. Hallelujah. And I'm going to nail down a whole new, it may take some effort and some battle. It's called the good fight of faith. And it starts right under your nose. We doing all right? How much faith does it take? The smallest form of faith, when spoken, releases super. Don't you let the devil back you into corner. Well, I don't have great faith. Stop saying that. Start declaring who your God is and how big He is on the inside of you. Stop telling God, you've heard this, it's cliche, but I love it. Stop telling God how big your problem is and start telling your problem how big your God is. And you might ought to start telling them, I'll just quit there. Okay, this is my parting shot. I know that's dangerous to even say. Right now we have I don't like what came up in my heart and mind just right now because it was murderous. Aren't you glad for grace? But we got a crazy little fiend over in North Korea that would love to put the world in chaos. And it's funny how that the world scrambles when a nation or world leaders talk or possess nuclear weapons or a potential nuclear threat. And we're living this right now. Isn't that something? Is it Kim Jong-il? Kim Jong-il? Am I saying it right? Help me. Does that sound right? Kim Jong-il? Il? Okay. So what's the boy's name? Oh, there we go. Thank you. How many know it's not his size? Or how smart he is, for sure. It's because he possesses or is in the process of trying to develop a nuclear bomb that will reach the mainland U.S. He has something very small and very powerful. Enriched uranium. I don't know how many scientists we got in here. This was all new to me. Enriched uranium, 235. 1 pound of uranium. Listen to this. 1 pound of U-235 has more power than a million, this is what they have here, 1 million gallons of gasoline. 1 pound. The size of a baseball. 1 million gallons of gasoline. Anyone who possesses that kind of power, when they talk, everybody listens. Forget E.F. Hutton. When you got a bomb like that, everybody listens. Just that much, a baseball, listen to this, just to give you an idea, a baseball can power a submarine or an aircraft carrier for 50 years. That's what they say. On 1 pound. That's pretty amazing. How many know it doesn't take that much? The U.S. has stockpiles of nuclear bombs. 1 pound. It doesn't take big. It takes power. Do you realize that faith as a grain of mustard seed, it may seem very small, but if you will open your mouth, stop considering your faith. Listen, as we go today, stop considering. Right now I'm asking you in Jesus' name. I want every ear in here to hear me. I realize that for a lot of you this is new. But this week, by the grace of God, stop considering your faith insignificant. Somewhere along the line you were taught that you need me. You need a pastor. You need a spiritual hero. You need somebody else who knows a lot. And if you just kind of ride and flow in their coattails and hope for the best, as long as we're saved, it's okay. That's not the way God designed this at all. I am not your Savior. I am not your Lord. I'm not even your covering. Jesus is your covering, and I can prove that to you in Scripture. My job as a pastor is to feed and through the Word protect. It's a staff and it's pasture. That's my job. My job is not to run other people's lives. My job is not to be your husband or your wife, figuratively speaking. I can't take over. There's areas of authority and responsibility I cannot take over. But if I can lift you through the Spirit of God into a place of confidence and faith where you begin to stand on your own two hind legs and open your mouth, recognize that when you sit there and suffer in silence, the devil wins. I don't know what it is about all of us. I went through it this week and I caught myself with lockjaw about a situation of my own. Isn't that ironic? Shouldn't be ironic. You shouldn't be surprised. Cut me, I bleed red just like you. I can preach it, hopefully, but I got to live it just like you. By faith, every day. Are you here today? And the reality is that if you will, the devil will do everything he can to shut your mouth. Open your mouth. We're gonna look at this some more. Next week, I want to look at James. How that he says a tiny thing as small as a tongue. Like a rudder turns great ships around. Doesn't happen overnight. But when you adjust that little rudder, something, creak and groan and splashing of waves and movement and change. But that little rudder starts turning. Stop laughing. I remember what I said. I've worked hard not to do that. Begins to change our direction. How many getting something out of this? It's a good reminder for some of them. For some of us, this is brand new. And it's such a wonderful thing now in the light of grace to share a powerful law of the new covenant that causes you to rise above. Bump your neighbor and say, I'm more than a conqueror. Come on, I mean it. Bump your neighbor and say, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. It doesn't take a lot of faith. It's the faith you speak forth. How many are heading into a new journey in Jesus? Yes. Father, right now for your people all over this room, we thank you. For the supernatural in our lives. I thank you right now that as I say supernatural, that you pull minds back from all of the traditional stuff that we call supernatural and recognize you walked right here on earth, ate, visited, laughed, fellowshipped, were in people's home, caught a little short guy, Zacchaeus, out of a sycamore tree. You lived every day with the common man, did common things, but in all of that, the supernatural burst forth as the Word of God heard, was responded to, repeated, and broke forth in the life of common folks. Today, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you no devil in hell, no fear, I love it. So I was able to take those two nurses and show them, listen, perfect love, his perfect love for me, 1 John, for his perfect love for me casts out all fear. I thank you that in your people this morning, right here as we're sitting here, Father, as we embark and we dig further into this thing of the importance of our words, that fear is being replaced with faith. That trembling and shrinking back is being replaced by a supernatural courage to step into a new day, to step into a new way. You are the one that said that these paths of righteousness, that this knowledge of Jesus would straighten out crooked paths. It would heal the lame. You promised these things. So we lay claim. Come on, people of God, would you pray with me? We lay claim, starting with me. And then through me, we dare to believe you in these days like never before for big things. Thank you for a guard on my mouth. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You can sit in here and get all fired up and excited, and Tuesday morning on the phone, just talking things in the ground. We've all been there. I'm not pointing a finger. We've all been there. Come on, people of God. Come on, people of God. My babies will serve and know their calling. Serve God and know their calling. Come on, people of God. Are you here today? The dream that I had of ministry is not too late. There still is a purpose and a plan for me. Hallelujah. I'm just going to stop right there. I've carried you along every week. If I keep going, we'll just go on for another 30 minutes because I love it right here. I love this right here. I'm going to stop right here. Father, thank you. Come on, would you lift your hands one more time all over the room? Say, Lord, we receive your grace. And we thank you that great grace stirs in me the potential for the response of great faith already mine. In Jesus' name. For your people all over the room, as our hands are lifted high, Father, I thank you that you're given supernatural answers. Supernatural answers for those that seem to be at an impasse. Come on, are you hooking up with me? Supernatural answers, like, where did that come from? I've been working on this forever, and I thought I had exhausted every possible avenue, and out of the blue, you made it simple. You know, he does stuff like that. Did you know that the four-wheel drive happened to a spirit-filled man who went to bed saying, Lord, I know you got an answer, and the Lord showed him the four-wheel drive system. How many in here enjoy four-wheel drives? Do you know that my wife right here, they're still blown away. They still talk about it quietly. My wife, they have a program called Schoolmaster, a big government program. They could not figure it out. The thing was upside down, and I'm not exaggerating. She'll have to share it with you sometime. They brought in the people from Phoenix. They brought in people first from the district here, then from Phoenix. They could not correct their problems. Jackie went to bed that night, right here in Chino, went to bed that night praying in other tongues and saying, "Thank you, Father, you got the answer." She said, "I had a dream." She'll have to tell you this herself sometime. She said, "In the middle of the night, I had a dream." And she said, "I saw myself sitting right over here." This is when she worked at Heritage. She's at Del Rio now. She said, "I was sitting at my computer." And she said, "I saw someone step up behind me." And she said, "I turned and I knew it was Jesus." She says that I stood there. He showed me exactly what to do. You think I'm pulling your chain? This is my wife right here at Heritage in Chino Valley, Arizona. Showed her exactly. She said it just went whoop. She said, "I went to work the next day," and she said, "I know what's wrong." They wanted to laugh at her. "You're not even a scheduler. You're a receptionist, secretary. What are you talking?" She says, "No, come here, I'll show you." She sat right down with Scott. I can't remember his last name. Mormon guy. I wish I could remember that. Right now I'm drawing a blank on all the people that were there. One of them is now a principal over here at Territorial. So these are people that are still around that can verify. Stood over her shoulder while she did exactly what Jesus showed her, completely dumbfounded, corrected the whole system. That's not a hype. That's not a story that I got out of Reader's Digest. That's right here in Chino Valley. Listen, God loves you. He's put everything in you to overcome. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He leads you and guides you. I want to encourage you. Stand and begin to believe Him for who He is. There are some of you, man, you think you've tried it and it just isn't working. Listen, don't let that happen to you. Stand up on your hind legs. Open your mouth. Do not shut your mouth. Don't let the second form of unbelief hold you captive. Open your mouth and say some things. Believe God for who He is. If thou wilt say unto this mountain, you ready for next week? Good, then I'm going to shut up right now. Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for your word. Thank you for faith that rises strong. Thank you for the kind of faith that says, "You know what, Lord? You don't need to go. Just say the word, and I know it'll be done." And He who created universes was blown away by that kind of faith. Father, we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Father, for those that are struggling in their bodies, for those that are struggling in prayer for loved ones, for those this morning that are just struggling with depression, and those that are struggling with all the what ifs and wondering of how life is going to iron out. Father, I thank you today that as your word says, that deep calls to deep, that this week the Spirit of God just comes in like a flood and lifts us and strengthens us as we dare to begin taking baby steps that are enough. Standing right there. Just standing right there. Baby steps. Come on, people. You feel like a baby? You feel like a baby in all this? What a beautiful morning this has been, hasn't it? Yes. Hallelujah. Nope, that's not the verse I was looking for. Read this to you, it's good. Psalms 2. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. Out of the mouth of babes. Somebody help me. Psalm 8. I had 2:8 stuck in my brain. Psalm 8, thank you. There it is, verse 2. You think you're a baby in all these things? Psalm 8, verse 2, thank you. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, hast thou ordained strength. Are you guys hearing this today? You feel like a baby? You feel like you don't know enough? God is saying to you, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Go out of here emboldened in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. Altars are open. I'll remain here to pray with you. Have a wonderful week, day in Jesus. I'm looking forward to Wednesday night so we get to see each other a little more often as we delve into the Word of God. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus. Open your mouth and declare the goodness of God.